This is Morning Edition. The official investigation of the gas explosion last week in Durham that killed a coffee shop owner and badly damaged several buildings is still underway. One thing is clear, though. The toll for the city's firefighters was high. 9 were among the 25 people injured. WUNC's Jay Price talked with an expert who trains firefighters on what it's like to respond to an invisible threat that can instantly destroy an entire city block.
When leaking gas builds up inside a structure where there are potential ignition sources like pilot lights and electrical devices, it becomes so dangerous that Jerry Knapp refers to it as an improvised explosive building.
The point I'd like to make to the guys is that it goes from 0 to 60 in a microsecond, and you go from being Joe Fireman where everything is fine to a position where you're not sure whether you're dead or alive.
Knapp leads a hazardous materials response team for a county near New York City and writes articles for firefighting magazines. He says responding to reports of gas leaks is a big part of the job for firefighters.
Here in Rockland County, we did about 700 gas leaks last year over 26 fire departments. They're more common than most people think, actually.
Nearly all gas leak reports end safely, which is, of course, a good thing, but it also means the first thing firefighters are up against when they respond to one is complacency. Knapp says they have to stick to their department's standard operating procedures, which Durham officials said firefighters did here.
We always get an address. Obviously, if it's a gas leak, we don't want to pull up in front of that building or that house. If it does go bad, we're in what I call the kill box.
The kill box, the name he uses with firefighters he's training to emphasize the risks. They usually stop a few hundred feet away.
As you approach the scene, you want to look for third-party damage. Is there a backhoe that hit the line? Were they excavating? Were they digging a hole for something? You're also listening. If it's a high-pressure leak, you'll hear it. The key is I train guys to assume the building is going to explode until you prove otherwise.
The firefighters are constantly trying to piece together information as they get more.
The real problem is when you get there, you can't see it. If there's a car accident, you can see it. If there's a building on fire, you can see it. So when I train guys, I always say we're chasing the invisible man at night. You have to use your instruments to find it. So, and it takes time to do that.
But they might not have any time. The gas might be reaching an ignition source even as they arrive. The instrument he refers to essentially sniffs the air for gas, then says whether it's there, and if so, whether it seems to be in dangerous amounts. But it's not precise, in part because it can't sample everywhere. As the firefighters work their way toward the reported leak site, they can sample the air at storm sewers and the vents and manhole covers and inside buildings to try to get a sense of what the gas is doing.
So we'll work our way in and ask questions of the people along the way. Where do you smell it? How bad is it? Those kind of things. Until we sort it out, and it's really a detective game.
A potentially deadly detective game with a ticking clock you can't see and clues that can be hard to read. For example, when a gas line seems to be broken only outside a building, as apparently was the case in Durham, there are several ways it can seep inside to create that potential bomb.
We call it migrating gas, and that's the problem. It will migrate underground, and it takes the path of the least resistance. So it may go back into the buildings by the sewer lines. It may go back through a crack in the foundation.
Natural gas is lighter than air, so a clean break outside may spew it harmlessly upward. But a force that only partly breaks the pipeline outside a building may also break it under or inside the building. So some gas could be flowing inside. And sometimes, as happened in Durham, the information they gather quickly tells firefighters they need to evacuate the site.
If we can get the civilians out as quickly as we can, minimize our time in the kill box, that's our goal. We like to think we take manageable risks.
But manageable risks are still risks, and firefighters take them every time they arrive at a reported gas leak. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.